Radio. I said before the break that the fires in the towers had gotten as hot as 5,100 degrees. How do I know that? Because they found indications that some of the steel had not only melted, which requires temperatures of 2,800 degrees, but that some of the steel had vaporized as well. To vaporize steel requires temperatures of over 5,100 degrees. So there's no possible way, guys, that they're telling the truth to us, you know, that the fires reached a maximum of 800 degrees. Oh, sure, the actual fires that burned up until the point when the buildings collapsed, yeah, they were about 800 degrees. I don't contest that. But something happened thereafter that caused temperatures in those buildings to rise to 5,100 degrees. What could have done that? The explosives, obviously. Thermate is designed to do just that, to melt and vaporize steel in a snap. So let's look at the evidence of this vaporized steel. Vaporized and melted steel. Again, molten steel requires 2,800 degrees. That's 2,000 degrees hotter than the maximum the fires achieved in those buildings, according to NIST and other government agencies. And then, of course, to vaporize, 5,100 degrees. This is from the February 2nd, 2002 New York Times. It stated, pieces of steel have also been found that were apparently melted and vaporized because of a corrosive contaminant that was somehow released in the conflagrations. Perhaps the deepest mystery uncovered in the investigation, yeah, if you can call it that, involves extremely thin bits of steel collected from the trade towers and from 7 World Trade Center. The steel apparently melted away, but no fire in any of the buildings was believed to be hot enough to melt steel outright. Not only not hot enough to melt steel, but again, not hot enough to vaporize it either. Even Appendix C from FEMA's May 1st, 2002 report made this admission. The severe corrosion and subsequent erosion of samples 1 and 2 from Building 7 constitute an unusual event. No clear explanation for the source of the sulfur has been identified. And that still remains the case today, at least not officially. No, official report that has come out has identified the source of the sulfur, but we do know what the source of the sulfur is, guys. It's thermate. Thermate is the combination of thermite and sulfur. When added, when sulfur is added to thermite, again, it's called thermate, and it burns much, much hotter, literally vaporizing steel, not just melting it. There's no question what this is. FEMA admitted it. They said, the severe corrosion and subsequent erosion, blah, 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 represents a significant event, and the source of it has not been identified. That left the door open for a future investigation. NIST came along, and they didn't address this at all. In fact, they didn't address Building 7 at all. They promised they would, but they lied. They said, early last year they were going to come out with a report, never happened. Then they said over the summer, never happened. Then they said later this year, never happened. They basically already admitted that, we can't come up, with an explanation. So there you go. Well, they didn't come up with an explanation for the two main towers either. We'll talk about that if I have time. If not, I might carry this over to Monday. I don't know, because this is really important. But they didn't explain the collapse of the two main towers either. But they know that, it's even more difficult to try to explain Building 7. They would just embarrass themselves even more than they already have with their report they've already produced. So they're just backing away from it totally, guys. It's obvious why. The November 29th, 2001 New York Times quoted Jonathan Barnett, a professor at the Center for Fire Safety Studies at the Worcester Polytech Institute, not too far from me, as saying that some of the steel, some of the steel members in the debris pile at Ground Zero appear to have been partly evaporated in extraordinarily high temperatures. You better believe it, buddy. All right, guys, be right back.
The Berkeylite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeylite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeylite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeylite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Gasoline prices are out of control. Are you tired of giving your hard-earned dollars to the major oil companies? Did you know that the oil companies have developed special products to increase mileage in their own vehicles? Very few customers even know such products exist. SFR has obtained this technology that is backed by testing the oil companies have run. Yet they don't want you to know about them. This product is made right here in the United States and is not a typical gas treatment found at your local store. SFR lasts up to 6 months. SFR works so well that it even improves mileage on new cars. SFR recently ran this ad, and the response from all over the U.S. was so incredibly strong that we're allowing listeners to receive a free bottle when one is purchased at our regular price of $9.99. If you're not completely delighted with the savings, we'll refund the purchase price and shipping. Share the oil company's secret and get SFR now. Call 888-USE-SFR-1. That's 888-873-7371 today.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Hey guys, back on Truth Earth Radio. Reading some more quotes here about this molten and vaporized steel that was found at Ground Zero. The structural engineer, September 3rd, 2002 edition, quoted Dr. Keith Eaton, chief executive and secretary of the Institution of Structural Engineers, as saying that he was shown slides of WTC debris that showed things, quote, ranging from molten metal, which was still red hot weeks after the event, to 4-inch thick steel plates sheared and bent in the disaster, requiring a tremendous amount of energy to do. In the July-August 2002 issue of the Atlantic Monthly, there it discussed correspondent William Langweisch, who was on the scene during some of the cleanup work there at Ground Zero. The article stated that he, quote, crawled through the pile with survey parties and descended deep below street level to areas where underground fires still burned and steel flowed in molten streams. Steel flowed in molten streams. Where did the molten streams of steel come from, our little friends at NIST? They don't have an explanation for it, guy. Oh, you know what? Actually, they do. And it's quite laughable. I'll get to that later. But they don't have a legitimate explanation. There is no way to explain this. 800 degree fires producing molten steel requiring 2,800 degrees? I don't think so, folks. In this same article, Langweisch was quoted as saying that, quote, streams of molten metal leaked from the hot cores and flowed down broken walls inside the foundation hole. Once again, streams of molten metal. There's no question, guys, there were streams of molten metal, molten steel found all over at Ground Zero, as well as glowing red-hot pieces of steel. Again, we're talking temperatures ranging from, 1,500 degrees up to over 5,100 degrees, and all of this produced by fires that reached a maximum of 800 degrees. Sure. Let's move on to what the caller mentioned a little while ago, how the buildings were reduced to dust. Fireman Joe Casaligi made this comment. He says, you have 210-story office buildings. You don't find a desk. You don't find a chair. You don't find a telephone, a computer. The biggest piece of a telephone that I found, he said, was half of a phone keypad. The buildings collapsed to dust. What could cause that? If the buildings simply collapsed like we were told, guys, you would find big, huge chunks of sinks and toilets and desks and chairs and computers and everything pulverized to dust. Everything. This might not seem strange at first, but it is very strange. There weren't even pieces of carpeting found at Ground Zero. Now, what could destroy carpeting? Understand, once again, those buildings had 110 stories. The fires were localized to only 10 floors. So let's just pretend that all the carpeting on those 10 floors was completely burned up. Okay, that's fine. But what about the other 100 stories? The carpeting didn't burn up on those floors. Carpeting doesn't pulverize from a collapsing building. Carpeting is very tough and durable. What in the world caused the carpeting to pulverize to dust, kids? Yeah, think about it. Anyway, Governor Pataki and CNN's Bill Hemmer were at Ground Zero on September 21st, 2001, reporting live. Pataki made this comment. There's no concrete. All you see is aluminum and steel. Then Hemmer said, what happened to the concrete? Pataki responds, the concrete was pulverized. All of lower Manhattan, not just this site, from river to river, there was dust, powder, 2 to 3 inches thick. The concrete just pulverized. Just pulverized. He didn't offer any explanation as to how that was possible, because there isn't one other than controlled demolition explosives. Very powerful explosives pulverize the concrete. Concrete, guys, will break, it'll crumble into pieces, but it will not shatter to dust. There were no chunks of concrete. A total of 220 floors worth of concrete, all of it pulverized. All of it. None of those floors crumbled into pieces and were found in chunks. All of the concrete pulverized. I hope you're seeing. There's no question we're dealing with controlled demolition here. The initial claim, guys, made live, and this is what's so interesting about events like this. If you record major events like this, like 9/11, or Oklahoma City bombing or whatever, and then later come back and review those recordings in light of how the story has developed in ensuing weeks and months that have passed, you'll find complete incongruency. And that's what we have here. Initially, the reports given live on 9/11 is that there were explosives in the basements of the towers. It was believed that truck bombs were planted by the, quote, terrorists, and that would account for why the buildings came down the way they did. Later, they dropped this story. You never heard anything more about it again, and any claims of bombs were shot down as paranoid speculations. But listen to this. So powerful were the explosives at the WTC on 9/11 that some officials, as I said, on the scene, said that they believed truck bombs were planted in the towers. Live on the afternoon of 9/11 on USAtoday.com, a foreign war correspondent, Jack Kelly, was quoted as saying, "At the same time, two planes hit the buildings. The FBI thinks that there was a car or truck parked with explosives underneath the buildings, which also exploded at the time and brought both of them down." This is what was originally thought to be the cause of the collapses. Here's another report from MSNBC. This was Rick Sanchez, who told CNN live on 9/11, "I spoke with some police officials moments ago, and they told me they have reason to believe that one of the explosions at the WTC, besides the ones made with the planes, may have been caused by a van that was parked in the building that may have had an explosive device in it." Did you catch that? He said one of the explosions at the World Trade Center, besides the ones made with the planes. Here he's admitting there were other explosions. Of course there were. There were lots of explosions going on long after the planes had hit the towers. They want you to think, oh, no, there were no other explosions. Oh, but there were. And I'm going to quote from many eyewitnesses attesting to that in a moment, but let me quote another statement here first. This is from NBC's Pat Dawson, reporting live at 11:56 a.m. on 9/11 about an interview that he had just conducted with Albert Perry, chief of fire safety for the New York Fire Department, made these remarks. He said, "Perry told me that shortly after 9 o'clock, he had 10 alarms, roughly 200 men in the building trying to effect a rescue of the civilians who were in there. And basically, he received word of some kind of secondary device, that is, another bomb going off." Here you go, guys. Another bomb going off. "He tried to get his men out quickly as he could, but he said that there was an explosion that took place. And an hour after the first hit, the first crash that took place, there was another explosion in one of the towers here. According to his theory, he thinks that there were actually devices that were planted in the building." Oh, they were devices, all right. You better believe there were. All over the place. And you see, the fires burning in the towers were prematurely setting off some of the charges. It's obvious. Yes. "One may have been in the plane," he said. "A second device," he speculates, "was probably planted in the building. Now, we are continuing to hear explosions here downtown. But the bottom line is that he," Albert Perry, "said that he probably lost a great many men in those secondary explosions. And he said that there were literally hundreds, if not thousands, of people in those towers when the explosions took place." Guys, this is just like what was reported live, during the Oklahoma City bombing fiasco. They said that there was more than one explosion. There were multiple explosions that were going off, just like on 9/11. Let's talk about some of these eyewitness accounts about explosions. We actually already made reference to some, but let's look at some more here. Ann Thompson. During her live coverage on MSNBC that morning, I'll pick up. Hey, guys, get back. Pick weather. She don't want to miss this. This is a very interesting few statements she made here.
What's your heart? Are you looking for a one-stop shop to find all your favorite books and videos? Look no further. Northern Voice Bookstore has everything you need. Hundreds of titles, from self-defense, survival, and financial freedom, to history, politics, conspiracy, and everything you need to know about the New World Order. You can order everything you need on the web, 24 hours a day, at northernvoicebookstore.com. Or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, Post Office Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. Northern Voice Bookstore offers a broad range of different perspectives and believes strongly that the American people need alternative sources of information in order to understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. And make sure to tell them you heard about us on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Attention, this is an RBN Financial News Bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt, maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing, but they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
Hi, friends. Bill Bagley from Vital Basics, and I want to send you a bottle of the best-selling supplement Focus Factor absolutely free. Why would we give away a free bottle of Focus Factor? Because we know that if you try it, you'll buy it. Focus Factor has nutrients that work with your natural brain chemistry to support your memory, concentration, and focus. People all over the country say it's the best brain support supplement they've ever tried. Well, how would you like to try Focus Factor yourself absolutely free? No, we're not crazy. We're confident. Because once you try Focus Factor, you'll wonder how you ever got along without it. And that's why, for a limited time, we'll give you a full-size bottle of Focus Factor, an $85 value, free. You simply provide $4.95 to help cover the cost of shipping and handling. Call now for your free bottle of Focus Factor. Call 1-800-518-3796. That's 1-800-518-3796. Limit one bottle per household, please. Again, the number is 1-800-518-3796.
Okay, guys, we're back on Truth Hurts Radio. I'm going to pick up now with this statement made by Ann Thompson, reporting live the morning of 9/11 on MSNBC. This was shortly after the second tower had come down. Here's what she said. At 10:30, I tried to leave the building, but as I got outside, I heard a second explosion and another rumble, and more smoke and more dust. I ran inside the building, and the chandelier shook, and again, black smoke filled the air. Within another 5 minutes, we were covered again with more soot and more dust. And then a fire marshal came in and said that we had to leave, because if there was a third explosion, this building might not last. So she describes hearing three massive explosions in the North Tower. She also talked about how cars were, quote, just turned over by the force of the explosion. It was like something no one had ever seen. Powerful explosion, she said, that overturned cars. And there's pictures, too. I've got several of them on file, of these overturned cars at Ground Zero. What kind of force would overturn a car, guys? How could a mere collapse overturn a car? A collapse will just crush a car, but it won't flip it over. An article, this is from a live report again, an anchor with WNYW, Fox 5 News in New York, in reference to the South Tower, had this to say: there was an explosion at the base of the building, white smoke from the bottom. Something happened at the base of the building. There's another explosion suddenly, the person yells out. So they reported two explosions there for the South Tower, just like the North Tower, right at the time of collapse, or just prior to the time of collapse. Big, big explosions. You can go check them out, too, guys. Some of them were recorded. They're all over the Internet. You know, if you want some of the links, just email me and I can send them to you. You can see one where there's a couple firemen at a payphone. And they're talking, and all of a sudden you hear this big boom! And incredibly, it sounded to me like, if you've ever been near a lightning strike, that's exactly what it sounded like. Just an unbelievably, I've been very close to two of them. One just about 2 years ago, not even 100 feet outside my window. Man, it's something to remember, let me tell you. Scare the daylights out of you. But that, you know, that's what it sounded like, this massive explosion. And, you know, one of the firemen is like, geez, what the heck was that? You know, this was one of those explosions. That occurred right before Building 7 came down. So there we go. We have explosions just prior to building to the South Tower, just prior to the North Tower, and just prior to Building 7. Well, that's classic demolition for you right there. Whenever you take a building down, you got to set charges off first in the basements to knock the structure off of its foundation, and then that is immediately followed by smaller explosions that are set, you know, explosives set to go off throughout strategic points throughout the building to bring the structure, you know, straight down. But you got to knock it off its foundation first, destabilize it. So that's what these initial explosions were before the collapses of these towers. CBS News contributor Carol Marin, speaking of WTC-1 collapsing, that's the North Tower, had this to say: I hear simultaneously this roar and see what appears to be a gigantic fireball rising up at ground level. So here we go. This explosion that she heard was rising up. She saw it rising up, a fireball coming out of the ground, right at ground level. That is the explosions, guys, going off. Those were the charges knocking the building off its foundation, which immediately preceded the actual tower collapsing itself. Marin also stated, I remember seeing this giant ball of fire come out of the earth as I heard this roar. So she repeated herself to make it clear that there was this unusual phenomenon coming from the base of the tower. Assistant Fire Commissioner Stephen Gregory, regarding the collapse of the South Tower, this was from the New York Times, August 12, 2005. He said, when I looked in the direction of the Trade Center before it came down, before number two came down, this is the South Tower. Before number two came down, I saw low-level flashes. In my conversation with Lieutenant Evangelista, never mentioning this to him, he questioned me and asked me if I saw low-level flashes in front of the building, and I agreed with him because I thought at that time I didn't know it was what it was. I mean, it could have been as a result of the building collapsing, things exploding, but I saw a flash, 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 and then it looked like the building came down. Again, guys, flash, 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 pop, 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 pop. Classic demolition job. Charges going off in succession. Boom, 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 boom. All around, circling around the perimeter of the building on the same floor. Boom, boom, boom. Classic demolition job, baby. There's more to that quote. I'll pick it up when we get back, guys.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.
Are you new to freeze-drying foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Come on, Bill. 2 weeks ago, you were riding a bicycle.
For some time now, you've listened to our corny DidYouRobBillGates.com ads. So let's get serious for a moment. DidYouRobBillGates.com can really show you how to make money with your own home-based business and will give you the ability to quit your job, pay off debt, or how about buying some silver and gold for the future or retirement? What about just being around more for your family? DidYouRobBillGates.com can show you how to increase your cash flow so you can get the things in life you want. What if all it took was answering the phone? Could you do that? When the cash flow increases, it's amazing what you can do. It's about independence and freedom. DidYouRobBillGates.com can show you how. Don't wait any longer. Go to DidYouRobBillGates.com. That's DidYouRobBillGates.com.
All right, guys. Back to on Spirits Radio. Let me pick up with this quote from this fireman. This was Fire Commissioner Stephen Gregory. He went on to say, "The flashes were at the lower level of the building. You know, like when they demolish a building, how when they blow up a building, when it falls down," he asks. Yeah, it's exactly what it was. Exactly. He went on to say, "That's what I thought I saw, and I didn't broach the topic to him, but he asked me. He said, 'I don't know if I'm crazy, but I just wanted to ask you because you were standing right next to me.' He said, 'Did you see any flashes?' And I said, 'Yes.' Well, I thought it was just me." He said, "No, I saw them as well." There you go, guys. Flashes. Fingerprints of a controlled demolition. You guys understand that every single factor that you would expect from a controlled demolition is present at ground zero on 9/11. Every single one. Some that we haven't even talked about yet, but every single, you got squibs coming out. In some cases, squibs were shooting out hundreds of feet horizontally out of windows, debris and junk being thrust out with tremendous force, tremendous violence. In some cases, these squibs were 50, 60 floors below the point where the crumbling was taking place, way down. The government shills would have us believe that these squibs were caused by debris being forced from the collapsing structure above, forcing debris out of windows below. Absolutely ridiculous, guys. First of all, these squibs are localized. They're shooting out of one window, very fine point that these squibs originate from. And again, they're sometimes 40, 50, 60 floors below the point where the crumbling has taken place. Why would the force of this crumbling cause debris to shoot out way down, 40, 50, 60 floors down, just out of one small localized spot? You gotta be kidding me. Oh, and by the way, we see squibs coming out the top 7 or 8 floors from World Trade Center 7. Now, how do you explain that? That was not debris pushing from above, forcing debris from out below, because the crumbling took place at the base of that building. The top wasn't crumbling at all. In fact, the top of that building remained perfectly in order all the way down to ground level. It didn't even tip, as a matter of fact. The building was the roof remained perfectly level all the way down to the ground, and there was no crumbling debris to force squibs out the top 7 or 8 floors. Where did those squibs come from? What caused that debris to be forced out with such violence? Oh, give me a break. Controlled demolition, kids. Anybody care to argue the point? Like to hear from you. Call me up and try to tell me this wasn't controlled demolitions going on here. Absolutely no question about it. You can go to Controlled Demolition Inc.'s website, the people who actually brought the towers down, and you'll see that they actually admit there that they took the towers down. That's right. Oh, not in those words, but it is an admission. They state that we specialize in contracting with the Pentagon for handling sensitive domestic projects. How else can you interpret that, guys? They're rubbing it right in your face. They were also there, of course, with the Oklahoma City bombing. You know, they did that job as well. Anyway, let's continue here. September 12, 2001, People magazine quoted firefighter Louis Cascioli, speaking of the North Tower collapse. He said, "We think that there were bombs set in the building." He actually said that. This same edition of People carried an interview with WTC survivor Teresa Valise recounting the collapse of the South Tower. She stated, "There were explosions going off everywhere. I was convinced that there were bombs planted all over the place and that someone was sitting at a control panel pushing detonator buttons." Absolutely. They happened to have been in Building 7, no question about that. It's one of the main reasons they took the building down later that afternoon to destroy the evidence of what went on in there that day. They also probably managed the flying of the planes into the towers via remote control to manage it with pinpoint accuracy, having a nice wide open view of the towers from there. She went on to say, "I was afraid to go down Church Street toward Broadway, but I had to do it. I ended up on VC Street. There was another explosion and another. I didn't know which way to run." Eyewitness Steve Evans of the BBC, speaking of the South Tower collapse, made these comments. "There was an explosion. The base of the building shook. I felt it shake. Then when we were outside, the second explosion happened, and then there was a series of explosions." There's your pop, pop, pop. "We can only wonder at the kind of damage, the kind of human damage, which was caused by those explosions, those series of explosions." BBC, September 11, 2001. Peter Jennings, reporting live on ABC after the South Tower collapse, said this. "Now, this is what it looked like moments ago." He's showing the footage. "My gosh, the Southern Tower just collapsing on itself. This is a place where thousands of people work. We have no idea what caused this. If you wish to bring down anybody who ever watched a building being demolished on purpose knows that if you're going to do this, you have to get at the under infrastructure of a building and bring it down. That's exactly what they did. There were explosions, don't forget, at the base of all three buildings just prior to the time they came down. And Dan correctly here stated that that's what you do when you bring a building down. You have to get at the understructure, the infrastructure first before you can take it down, kids. Do you realize what we're dealing with here? You know, I've talked about this many times on the show, and some people seem to think that it gets redundant. You can't get redundant enough. Guys, your government murdered 3,000 of your fellow American citizens. You very well could have been among them. This is treason. This is a crime not only of treason against the American people, treason against humanity. Do you understand the scope of what we're dealing with here? The scum, the trash that now illegally occupy the White House are responsible for those deaths. They orchestrated the entire thing. There's no question about it. March 29th, 2002, American Society of Newspaper Editors posted this account of the collapse of the South Tower, given by Ross Melantic, 57, age 57, who was working nearby at Chase Manhattan Bank. Here's what he said. Where'd it go? I lost my place. Okay. It, the tower, started exploding. It was about the 70th floor, and each second another floor exploded out for about eight floors before the cloud obscured it all. Again, explosions, explosions, explosions. And they're telling us, oh no, there were no explosions. Guys, I got reams and reams of testimonies like this. I'm just giving you some of the better ones, the highlights. Edmund McNally, during a call to his wife from the South Tower, said this: Liz, this was a terrorist attack. I can hear explosions below me. New York Times, May 26, 2002. June 17, 2002, this was reported on WNBC TV 4 in New York. Talked about a recently released, recently released recordings of 9/11 emergency transmissions from Jersey City. Here's one of the transmissions cited in the report, which took place at the time of the South Tower collapse. An official says, Battalion 1 to dispatch, we've just had another explosion. Battalion 3 to dispatch, we've had an additional explosion. Then the dispatcher radios back, received battalion command, additional explosion. There you go, guys. Once again, these are official reports. These are on-the-scene rescuers talking about explosions, explosions, explosions. The live radio transmissions of the North Brunswick Volunteer Fire Ladder Company number 3 on 9/11 are very revealing. Regarding the South Tower, one fireman can be heard saying, quote, Tower 2 has had a major explosion and what appears to be a complete collapse. Dan Rather, reporting live on the morning of 9/11, again made this statement. In addition to the two World Trade Center towers being hit by aircraft, there were subsequent explosions. Hard to know whether these were explosions or explosives planted in the buildings. Dan was very intrigued by these explosions. He was highly suspicious. Unfortunately, he seems to have lost that suspicion since then, but he was on the track that morning. The live radio transmissions of the, which I just cited, you know, the North Brunswick Fire Ladder Company, had to say this about the North Tower. We just talked about the South Tower. Here's what they said about the other tower. Those involved in the secondary explosion at Tower 1, K, I've got five patients, talking to someone back in the office named K. We have got numerous people covered in dust from the secondary explosions. We've got another explosion at the tower. And, of course, the guy's frantic when he's saying this. Another explosion! In the 2002 Jules and Gideon Naudé film, the Naudé brothers film, 9/11, the filmmaker's commemorative edition, two firemen from Engine 7 were shown talking about what they saw the morning of 9/11 regarding the North Tower's collapse. And here's what they had to say. The first fireman: "We made it outside. We made it about a block. Floor by floor started popping out. It was as if they had detonators." "Yeah, detonators," said another fireman. "As if they had plans to take down the building. It went boom, 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 boom. All the way down, I was watching it and running, and you just saw this cloud chasing you down." Kim White, a survivor from the North Tower who was on the 89th floor at the time of the impact of what was claimed to be Flight 11. It wasn't, of course. Here's what she said. "We got down as far as the 74th floor. Then there was another explosion. People." September 12th, 2001 is where that came from. David Hanshub, a photographer for the New York Daily News, said this about the collapse of the South Tower. "Instinctively, I lifted the camera up and something took over that probably saved my life, and that was to run rather than take pictures. I got down to the end of the block and turned the corner when a wave, a hot, solid, black wave of heat, threw me down the block. It literally picked me up off my feet, and I wound up a block away. Hot blast of air." Now, where did that come from? Not the Peasley 800-degree fires. He was a block away, guys. How could 800-degree fires in just 10 floors that would have been snuffed out due to the force of the collapse produce this blast of hot air that threw him a block? He was a block away at the time. Picked him up and flew him another block, he said. And this was as the building was collapsing. So the top floors where the fires were hadn't even reached ground level yet. Hello? Don Halassi, he was a New York Post photographer, might still be, I don't know. Here's what he said of the North Tower collapse. "As I turned to run, a wall of warm air came barreling toward me," just like the other person, same similar testimony. "I tried to outrace it, but it swept me up and literally blew me into the wall of another building. By the time I regained my footing, a hailstorm of debris was falling from the sky." Again, hot air blast flung him. Oh, I tell you guys, let me go into some problems with the NIST report. One of the many problems in NIST's report is this ridiculous statement it made. Quote, "The global models of the towers extended from several stories below the impact area to the top of the structure." What this means is that NIST's global assessment of the collapse of the towers only involved the floors in the immediate areas where the planes had struck. From the point of impact up, they were admitting here that their report, their investigation, did not deal with why the buildings collapsed from the point of impact down. Can you imagine that? All they were attempting to do, again, is explain the collapse of the structures from the point of impact up. They have no explanation. Actually, they didn't even explain that, but they have no explanation for the point of impact down, why the rest of the structures collapsed. Because don't forget, the structural integrity of both of those towers was not affected by the collapse or the fires. And yet, those buildings came down just as readily, just as easily, pulverized just as easily as the rest of the tower. Dave Parker, WTC, let's see, wait a minute. Oh, okay, this is from an article. The article quotes David Parker. The name of the article is WTC Investigators Resist Call for Collapse Visualization. New York Civil, New Civil Engineer, October 6, 2005 edition. Here's what he said. A leading U.S. structural engineer said NIST had obviously devoted enormous resources to the development of the impact and fire models. By comparison, the global meaning, you know, the building-wide, the global structural model is not as sophisticated, he said. The software used by NIST has been pushed to new limits, and there have been a lot of simplifications, extrapolations, and judgment calls. In other words, the whole basis of their report, the little simulation thing they did, is all based on twisting facts to make it fit the preconceived idea. Here was one expert who examined it, and you know, they wouldn't actually even release their original computer simulations. They refused to release them. Unbelievable. Because obviously, if they were subjected to close scrutiny, people would see what a scam the whole thing was, guys. This report is a fraud. Once again, should we trust the federal government or a federal government institution to investigate the federal government? I think not. Should have learned that decades ago with the Warren Commission report. We'll be right back, guys.
Attention, this is an RBN Financial News Bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt, maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing, but they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
The Berkey Light's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkey Light, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkey Light is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkey Light, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Gasoline prices are out of control. Are you tired of giving your hard-earned dollars to the major oil companies? Did you know that the oil companies have developed special products to increase mileage in their own vehicles? Very few customers even know such products exist. SFR has obtained this technology that is backed by testing the oil companies have run. Yet they don't want you to know about them. This product is made right here in the United States and is not a typical gas treatment found at your local store. SFR lasts up to 6 months. SFR works so well that it even improves mileage on new cars. SFR recently ran this ad, and the response from all over the U.S. was so incredibly strong that we're allowing listeners to receive a free bottle when one is purchased at our regular price of $9.99. If you're not completely delighted with the savings, we'll refund the purchase price and shipping. Share the oil company's secret and get SFR now. Call 888-USE-SFR-1. That's 888-873-7371 today.
All right, guys. Back to Truth Hurts Radio. I don't know if I was if I'm going to pick the rest of this up on Monday because you know I go into some details on the Pentagon strike and the Pennsylvania crash. I'm not sure yet. I've got several other topics that I wanted to cover in my last week, so I don't know if I'm going to do that. But in any case, if anybody wants the transcript, as always, just email me, truthhurtsradio@aol.com. Spell Hertz, H-E-R-T-Z. And, you know, I'll send these transcripts off to you. You know, for those who have ordered my Piercing the Fog of 9/11 book, that's where all this comes from. So if you want all the details, these transcripts are only partial. If you want all the collection of quotes I've got on this, they're all in that book. You can just go to, you know, lulu.com, L-U-L-U.com. Just type in my name, Charles Giuliani, G-I-U-L-I-A-N-I. And you can order that book there, Piercing the Fog of 9/11. Or if money's a factor, like I've been, you know, mentioning the past few weeks, you can just email me and I'll send you a copy of it, you know, because my aim is to get the word out, not to make money. So, you know, just email me at truthhurtsradio@aol.com. And, you know, I'll be happy to send that to you as an attachment file. And you'll see all of this documentation, again, along with a whole lot of other stuff. I go into this whole fiasco in minute detail. And I'll tell you guys, there's no way that you can possibly deny, after reading that, that 9/11 was an inside job. I've gathered all the best information from multitudes of sources. I've read every 9/11 book that's ever come out. Been, you know, digging deep into this, researching it over the internet, reading, you know, newspaper articles, you know, hundreds of them from all over the world. And, again, I've collected the best information, the most authoritative sources. There's no question about it. You know, if this thing happened the way that we were told, what you would see is the more you dug into it, the more clear the official story would become, and the more ridiculous the paranoid conspiracy theories would become. But the very opposite is true. The more you dig into it, the more you realize the official story is absolutely impossible. It's complete bunk. In fact, it's laughably ridiculous. And that every attempt to try to explain, you know, for example, how the towers came down by the NIST report, there's more I wanted to go into, don't have time, but NIST really made some incredibly ridiculous statements. You know, they said that molten steel could have arisen because of flammable materials buried in the pile that could have caused the temperature to rise in the pile and melt the steel. Unbelievable. There's no way that temperatures of fires can burn under layers of insulating ash and debris. All that ash and debris can do is insulate heat. You can never have heat rise because there's no oxygen getting in there to enable the fire to gain momentum, to rise in temperature. Do you understand this? This is common basic principles of physics. And these so-called physics experts are giving you this poppycock garbage. Then they go on to say, we found no evidence of molten steel at ground zero. Well, of course they can say that. Because by the time their investigation started in April of 2004, all the molten steel had been removed, carted away. But then they went on to say, after stating that they found no evidence of molten steel, a few pages later, they admit that they never tested any of the debris for explosives. They insist that there were no explosives used, but then they state that they never tested for explosive residue. How can they say no explosives were used if they didn't test for explosive residue? Well, I'll tell you why they didn't test for explosive residue. Because the debris is loaded with explosive residue, as Stephen Jones brought out. It's a fraud, guys. It's a cover-up. Government did 9/11. There's no question about it. There's no arguing the point. All right, guys, have a great weekend, and we'll see you Monday. Take care.
With recent internet